Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday, September 5th. Almost a quarter of households in rural Colorado don't have access to broadband internet, according to the state's broadband office. As KRCC's Jake Brownell reports, the U.S. Department of Agriculture is taking steps to close the broadband gap in rural communities across the country, and they're seeking input from residents.
A new website launched by the USDA asks rural internet users and service providers to tell the agency what they need from their broadband infrastructure, like what times of day they need internet most and how fast it should be. That information will help officials decide how to allocate $600 million in new funding aimed at expanding broadband access in rural communities across the country. Sally Clark is the Colorado Director for Rural Development at the USDA.
Rural high-speed broadband and e-connectivity is as important for economic development as rail, roads, bridges, and airports.
The new money nearly doubles the amount the agency is spending on the issue, and it dovetails with programs at the state level to support broadband infrastructure development. Colorado's broadband office says it wants every rural household in the state to have broadband access by 2020. For 91.5 KRCC News, I'm Jake Brownell.
3 years ago, the Animas River turned a sickly shade of orange, stained by a spill of toxic mine waste. Earlier this year, drought conditions reduced the river in southwestern Colorado, a part of the Colorado Rivershed, to a trickle. But it was the ashy runoff from a massive wildfire that caused the most damage, killing scores of fish and aquatic insects. The river has had a rough few years, and those who live along it are trying to find the resources needed to help it heal.
3 years ago, Barb Horn stood along the banks of the Animas River in the city of Durango, Colorado. She was watching the usually clear water change color.
It was absolutely surreal, and I think that's why it went viral. It's like somebody photoshopped the river orange.
Upstream, Environmental Protection Agency workers and a contractor triggered the spill of 3 million gallons of rust-colored mine waste while cleaning up the Gold King mine.
If you're a Harry Potter fan, it looked like butterbeer.
Horn is a water quality specialist with the state's Department of Parks and Wildlife. For her, it was a stark, visual reminder of the river's long history of pollution from abandoned mines.
And it immediately tugged on your heartstrings, thinking nothing could live in that.
The mine spill closed down recreation in the river and forced farmers to temporarily shut off irrigation to their crops. But life in the river, it didn't change much. The fish and bugs survived, one crisis averted, until this year.
So I joke that now the river looks like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory's Chocolate Fudge River.
That's because of a big wildfire that burned about 55,000 acres in the mountains nearby. Now, every time it rains over the burn area, a thick sludge washes into the Animas. Horn says official surveys haven't been done, but it likely killed all the river's fish through town.
You could literally see the fish coming to the banks, gasping for air. It physically smothered their gills and their ability to breathe.
It certainly is unlucky. I mean, it's unlucky now, and it's been unlucky for throughout time, really.
Scott Roberts is with the Mountain Studies Institute, a nonprofit research group based in nearby Silverton. He says the river's facing plenty of problems that don't draw public attention.
It's being stressed by drought, it's being stressed by warmer temperatures, it's being stressed by runoff from wildfire, it's being stressed by elevated metal concentrations, it's being stressed by bacteria, by nutrients.
Certainly the Animas is a bit of a poster child for some of the issues that plague rivers around the western United States.
Ty Churchwell is with Trout Unlimited and lives and works in Durango. We're standing on a pedestrian bridge over the Animas.
But I don't think that the problems that are plaguing the Animas today are unique to the Animas.
In fact, Churchwell says all these issues are increasingly common throughout the West. Drought, ash-laden runoff, and mine pollution are often the norm in watersheds. The Animas has just experienced all of them to the extreme.
Yeah, so the shop. We're a fly shop.
And this doesn't make things easy for the local business owners, heavily dependent on tourists rafting and fishing on the Animas. Tom Knopik is co-owner of Duranglers in downtown Durango.
Yeah, it's considered a top fly fishing destination, which mostly is for trout.
He takes solace in knowing that all this trauma is bringing attention to the animus's myriad problems. Some of the mine waste is now being treated before draining into the river. And at least when it comes to the fire-related sludge, the healing process has already begun.
You know, we don't like it. We'd rather not be dealing with it. But the reality is the animus will be in a short period of time better than it was before the fire.
But it could be another 5 to 10 years before the animus is back to its former self, according to water quality specialist Barb Horn.
Rivers really are a great metaphor for our body and our own health and our own lives. You can think about maybe the animus is having a heart attack, a stroke, and clogging up and saying we need to pay attention to what we eat or what we're doing with her and to her.
And she says rivers have been rebounding from drought and floods and fire for millennia. It's just human activity that's made the frequency, duration, and magnitude of those events worse. I'm Luke Runyon.
Congress has not yet reauthorized a conservation program that taps royalties from offshore drilling. The sites supported by the fund are especially important to the Latino community in Colorado and in the nation. Eric Galatis has more.
Land, Water y Comunidad, a new film released by the Hispanic Access Foundation, makes a cultural case for preserving a federal program that supports parks, swimming pools, and access to public lands. Chela Irlando with the foundation says Latinos place a high value on family experiences in spaces that are friendly to three-year-olds and grandparents alike. She says reauthorizing and fully funding the Land and Water Conservation Fund will help protect a way of life for future generations.
And these places created by the Land and Water Conservation Fund really matter to people and communities. It's a place for us not only to connect with nature, but to spend time with family and to explore our cultural heritage and enjoy outdoor recreation.
The film spotlights 5 different types of sites supported by the fund, including city parks in Rifle, Colorado and Las Cruces, New Mexico, state parks in Miami and Las Vegas, and a national monument in the California desert. The fund, created in 1965 with broad bipartisan support, will expire on September 30th if Congress doesn't act. I'm Eric Galatis.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday, September 5th. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.